FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz. It's 9/27/18. Well, lots going on in the swamp, aka the nation's capital. And, well, we're not going to talk about Kavanaugh, even though it's all taking place today. It's baked in the cake. It's done. Enough words have been shed on a ridiculous topic like this. But as always, we invite you to be part of the show. Just email us your thoughts, your feedback, your criticisms, or anything else of concern to kl@carrielutz.com. In the meantime, there is other news taking place. The deep state is becoming less deep by the day. Rod Rosenstein, is he an anarchist? Is he a proponent of the deep state or just a practical joker? I don't know when the last time he has laughed, when that was, but you can be the judge. But with us, our good friend, Dr. Gerard Lomero, is back with us again. Gerard, welcome back.
Oh, it's great to be back with you. You have a great show.
Well, hey, we appreciate the thought. So we got this deep state. I don't think anybody can deny it at this point. We have Rod Rosenstein, the practical joker. I mean, he just looks like a practical joker, like a Huck Finn. And wouldn't it be funny if I wore a wire and tried to entrap Trump so then I can get the cabinet members to remove him under the 25th Amendment. Ha, 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 ha. I mean, hey, he with humor like that, he could be on Jimmy Kimmel, you know?
Well, I don't think it's humor. I think it happened. I think there are notes on it, and that's why it was leaked to the New York Times, I believe. And it was in that article. And there was another mention of it in the Anonymous article as well. And I'll tell you, it makes sense, because now that the information's coming out, you know, in leak after leak after leak. You know, it's been dripping out for so long. And that it is clear to me, reading the evidence, and I think I'm objective, I try to be objective with everything, that the deep state, that group of 10 or 20 people in the FBI, DOJ, who were high up, were basically trying to promote Hillary Clinton as president, you know, let her off the hook of just a whole list of potential indictments. And then at the same time, when she couldn't manage to win the election with all of their help, they're going to try to bring down the president. They wanted to stifle his policy agenda. And basically, they think they're running the country and trying to determine who the president is, and that is a violation of the Constitution beyond any kind of thing we could imagine in our wildest dreams.
Yeah. Hey, and, you know, it's a total violation of everything Americans hold near and dear, and the left has no compunction about destroying institutions, destroying people, anything they need to do. The left slash deep state, and it's the right also. Let's face it, plenty of Republicans involved there as well in this. I mean, the late, great John McCain was at the forefront of trying to get rid of Trump. So the fact is, when you look at it, you can't really be too surprised by this, can you?
Well, you know what I think? I want to divide it up just slightly differently than what you just mentioned, although I think we're both in total agreement. And that is, there was and is a Republican establishment that is sort of going along with everything. There's a Democratic establishment, although those are largely being taken over by, you know, progressive socialists and other kinds
sure.
of socialists. And
but you repeat yourself. progressive right, and socialist is the same thing, isn't it?
I always say progressive means to progress to socialism.
Yeah.
You know, and they're in route, where socialists, they want everything socialized immediately. But, you know, that's a defined distinction. It may not even be true. But
yeah,
I
don't know.
That just to distinguish the word. But then there's a group that I think has been evolving within the Democrat socialist left, you know, that group. at the top level of the government that basically are beyond the Constitution. They think they can do anything. They think the Constitution is in the way of socialism, and they're going to do anything they want. Lie, steal, cheat, whatever, you know, that they can think of. Mm-hmm. And I think it is just so obvious, but from what has come out, and Rosenstein is right at the heart of it, and he's been trying to roadblock Congress from oversight work, and basically trying to protect himself because he's probably violated the law.
Hey, you know, the law is, you know, the law's a funny thing here, Gerard. It really is. It could be the greatest protector of the people and of your life and of your freedom, or it could be the greatest enslavement tool ever known to man. And unfortunately, originally in this country, it really was there to protect you from your government. And now it's there to allow your government to have its way with you in whatever they want to do.
Well, you remember Obama when he was talking about China, and he said, oh, it's easier for them to lead over there because they don't have a constitution in their way. So yeah. He saw the constitution as just a roadblock to accomplishing his socialist objectives. And a lot of them are that way, and they're willing to, as I said, I don't know if they'd actually steal. I don't know if they have to go that far, but maybe if you want to talk about bribery and stuff, that would be included.
Yeah.
But let's face it, they're the experts on lying.
Oh, yeah.
Because
no, they
so far
steal
from the truth so much of the time. It's startling.
They steal. It is a kleptocratic enterprise, the deep state. They're there to enrich themselves at the public's expense. And we know this because every government contract that goes out is an opportunity for criminality and theft. And this is it. I mean, this is the world as we know it. And we've seen this over and over again. Or, you know, these deep staters, the senior executive service, I don't know if you're aware of that.
Yes, sure.
Well, that's a perfect example of theft. And they do it. And it happens all the frickin' time. Pardon my French. This is what they do. And, you know, it's criminality, but it's theft because the first thing is the first order of government and business is for them to take care of their own, right? I mean, that's what it's about. Not for you and I and all the American citizens, you know, who the government was supposed to originally exist for, right? Not so much anymore, though. Right? Am I being hallucinogenic
right.
Over this?
No, the ideal and the way it should be is that people join government as a service, just like some people join the military for 4 years and you know, move on to other things in life. These people don't do it. They make it a career and probably term limits. I've been in favor a long time of term limits of no more than 2 terms, maybe even 1 term.
What a nice idea.
And only in one. In other words, I even believe that you could restrict term limits to you only serve once, period.
In any position. Decide, right.
Yeah, right. And let's say you're in Congress and that's your tour of duty. You can't go and run for senator.
Right.
Because, you know, in the strictest sense, it should be a citizenry that
yes.
leads the other citizens. It shouldn't be that people, you know, are there. Well, look at the people who are on some of the committees today. Look at Feinstein. Is she 85? I mean, these people, you know, McCain stayed until he mm-hmm. died in office.
Yeah.
I mean, shouldn't these people retire like normal people?
I would.
They work until they're 95.
If we were in a perfect world, Gerard, they would have never gotten into office in the first place. They're kleptocrats.
That's a different story.
They are kleptocrats. But at least with term limits, you can minimize the damage that these people can inflict upon the country, right?
Right. And so, certainly, I think the 12-year term of limit is makes sense, or two terms of office makes sense. I can even I would go along if somebody could do it with one term, one office only. I would even say that because it guarantees that citizens are running the country, which they're not now. These are professional politicians who want power.
So if the guy runs for dog catcher, he can spend one 12-year term as dog catcher and then he's out the door?
Well, I think that's a perfectly logical thing, yes. Because I've seen people at low level. I'm talking about county level employees. That's pretty low. And I've seen them corrupted after three terms. I really have. And I've seen it happen over and over again in different county type races. And you wouldn't think at that level there's anything to corrupt, but there is.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's on a smaller scale.
Hey, sometimes the smaller scale ones steal the most. Look, in Florida, every time I pass by a new place being built, all right, or some construction being done, I always think, well, who got paid for this one? Who got paid off?
Oh, yeah.
That's my automatic reaction. Not like, oh, building isn't it permits. Wonderful? Yeah. So, and I've heard of people on planning commissions, you know, dying and leaving palatial estates to their heirs, you know, and I'm not making this up. You know, I'm not making it up, Gerard. This is the corrupt nature of our government.
Well, it's the problem is people who get into office and stay there for life.
Mm-hmm.
And people know if you're going to work with this particular branch of government or this department, you've got to work with so-and-so who's been there for 25 years and will be there another 25 years. You want to grease the skids.
Yeah.
So you do whatever you need to do to deal with him because he's like a little king or a little fiefdom.
Oh, yeah. And I remember my father was a builder in New Jersey, and the building inspector tried to extort a kickback, and my father refused. And, you know, I don't know if he complained about the guy or what, but they didn't get rid of him. And every single thing my father tried to do, the building inspector was all over him. And he just wouldn't buckle under to the guy, but it cost him dearly to fight the corruption. And this is an awful state of affairs where it turns innocent people into co-conspirators, because if you want to get something done, you want to break an omelet, you want to make an omelet, you got to break some eggs, and corruption becomes acceptable. And you know that in our current state of affairs, corruption, that's what it's endemic. It's all over the place, especially in the more unionized states. But it's here in the ununionized states as well. We know this.
There's another factor that's involved in these problems we're discussing, and that is as the government at different levels has become more and more powerful. And as the government becomes more and more powerful, it invites corruption because the stakes are bigger. There's more money involved. Whether or not a company is made or not can sometimes be just a decision of the government. So I think in socialist countries, you see a tremendous amount of bribery and corruption because there's so much power concentrated in the hands of just a few people.
Mm-hmm. Yep, totally. It's like a third world country. And we see it over and over and over again. And, you know, the public has been content up to now to just being oblivious of it. But what it enables these people to do is simply charge a tax, a private tax upon the citizenry. And that was never what our founding fathers intended at all.
That's actually a very subtle point you make that I don't think most people catch on to. But in essence, corruption that socialism breeds is actually another form of taxation. They have many of them. You know, they call them fees, but they're really taxes. They call them regulations, but they add on taxes. You know, the government as a whole, the regulatory state, has an incredible tax on the people on the order of about $1 trillion a year in lost GDP. And we see that. And I think that's a very good point, that the corruption is also a tax.
Hey, and I had a gentleman on the show. He's a expert in medical stuff, Sean Flynn. He's running for Congress in California's 31st district. He's an economist. And one of the reasons why drug prices are so high is because of corruption, because there are these pharmacy benefit management companies, drug benefit management companies. There's two of them. One is owned by CVS. I don't remember who the other one's owned by, but they single-handedly set the price of drugs and how much pharmacies can charge and how much they'll be reimbursed. They have all this power and they add absolutely nothing to the pie. They just detract from it to the tune of tens of billions of dollars a year. And they've got antitrust exemption. So how do you explain all this? And Trump is the only one that has been willing to stand up to this corruption.
Yes. Absolutely. And really all it is, if you boil it down, is the prevention of a free market. I mean, yeah. Obamacare just added to it. The government regulations were tremendously bad going into 2010 when they passed Obamacare. And then Obamacare, a lot of the pharmaceutical companies got in bed with the government because they figured, you know, Obama's going to win this. And that just made it worse. And now we have a much more expensive, inefficient, and ineffective system.
Mm-hmm. And we all pay the price in terms of higher prices.
Do.
And also one thing that happens with the corruption is, especially in public improvement projects, and I put that improvement in quotes, but any public construction, is the corrupt parties there. Also, you wind up having inferior products produced, like the Oakland Bay Bridge replacement, which is made with cheap Chinese steel and is basically falling apart. Or they just built a new bus terminal, and the day it was opened, they find a broken I-beam that, you know, what the heck's going on here? I mean, we just can't put up with this before. Maybe when we were super wealthy and all that, we were on the ascendant, we could put up with a measure of corruption, although we never had anything like what we have now. But now we can't afford it anymore. Gerard, something needs to be done about this.
Absolutely. The corruption and the other problems, you know, even when government is not corrupt, when they're trying to do something good, they fall all over themselves and create terrible situations. I think this is a long-term issue because it's taken a long time to get us in a bad situation. Trump mm-hmm. has done an enormous amount of effort in eliminating regulations and improving things, but there's a lot to do.
Hey, there's a lot to be done, a lot to do, and we need to start doing it. Reducing corruption, and that is one of Trump's things. First thing he did was go to the Department of Transportation and say, all right, it takes you guys to 10 years to approve a road, you know, a two-mile road. That's over. You got a year or 2 years at the most to do it. And if you can't figure out how to do it, then I'm going to get rid of you and find somebody who can. And he showed the mountains of paperwork, Gerard, and the whole thing of reinventing government. It's a cliche already, let's face it. But it really does need a reinvention because it's no longer serving. It's become antithetical to its stated purpose. And, you know, the stated purpose of government really is, well, of course, we know our basic core functions, protect us from enemies from within and without, provide for peaceable resolution of disputes between the inhabitants, and protect the integrity of the free market. But we're so far past that that we don't even know what government is supposed to be anymore. And maybe that is the biggest problem of all, is what is the legitimate purpose of government? And we need to get back to that and really try to rediscover our roots, if you will.
Well, I actually am positive in the long run. As I wrote in Great News for America, my previous book, and in my current book, More Great News for America, I see a lot of people around the country listening to good folks such as yourself, and they're fully cognizant of what's happening, and that's the first step in moving forward. And I think there are some people, even in Congress, among the many who are dysfunctional, there are a number who are really understanding we're going to have to work on spending, we're going to have to work on a number of things to make this country streamlined and efficient. And if we do, we're going to have growth beyond our wildest dreams. But I think it's actually moving in that direction. And I think almost every election, more and more people that are part of what I call the establishment, on the Republican side, the rhinos, mm-hmm. and others who are just caught up in the bureaucracy are losing. You had Blake and Corker this year, who are sort of part of the establishment. They're not running because they know they couldn't win. Mm-hmm. And that tells you enough people are aware of the fact we have to have reform and we have to have the right kind of people, because we can no longer just elect people who say, oh, I'm a conservative, because they may not be.
Sure
they may be a conservative only as long as the election lasts. And then after that, they turn into a progressive socialist.
Yeah.
They get them back to Washington.
Or worse.
I think in the long run, I see things as happening positive. And my new book, More Great News for America, shows what I see as the roadmap moving forward.
Well, I love it, and we need it, and you're really performing a service. And Trump's biggest service, when you get down to it, is he's exposed all of this. Like, you know, you were pretty much in with the establishment, the Republican establishment, for a long time, and he just totally... You know, the term apocalypse means lifting the veil, and he has lifted the veil. He is the apocalypse for the establishment, for the deep state, because he lifted the veil and opened them up to view of the whole world, the whole country. And if you want to see it, you can see it. And if you don't want to see it, then fine, don't. But don't get involved in the debate if you don't want to see what's really happening here, because it's profound. And it's costly, it's deadly, and it's the thing that that failed civilizations, failed societies.
Before, in the past.
Yeah, Rome, Greece, every civilization that's failed, with the exception of the Mayans, because we don't really know why they failed because of corruption and a turning their back on the founding principles of which their societies were established. And this is Trump's greatest service. You know, you could argue about, you know, the way he's done it and the tweets and all that. But the fact is, when you get down to it, he's really performed the ultimate service. So, Gerard, where do we find your latest book, and when is the next one coming out?
Well, the next one, book number 6, I have 5 books. All 5, by the way, are on Amazon. They're both in print and also in Kindle edition. And number 6, I'm hoping, will be out in February in Amazon. Next February should be book number 6.
Excellent. Well, I can't wait to see it.
And also, they can go to my website and read my weekly articles at greatnewsforamerica.com.
GreatNewsForAmerica.com. As always, the link is there in the show notes for your enjoyment. Make sure you take a look at it. Good work. Gerard's a great writer and all-around good thinker. And Gerard, hey, we really appreciate you coming on, talking to us. Haven't talked to you in a while. Again, just to send us an email, kl@kerrylutz.com. You could tweet us at Kerry Lutz. The Facebook page, Financial Survival Network. Don't forget, if you're on YouTube, just click that subscribe button and click the bell, click the like, click all that stuff. Click the don't like. Just click something, please. Click anything. Just click, click, click. Hey, iTunes, if you really like to click with your mouse, go subscribe to us on iTunes. Go into the iTunes store, put in Kerry Lutz or Financial Survival Network, and then keep clicking away where it says subscribe, and eventually it will subscribe you. It's the most annoying interface on the planet, but it will get you there. Don't forget your podcast app for Google or for the iPhone. Just click the podcast, subscribe, and we're there. And don't hesitate to reach out to us. And hey, if you like this show, share it with somebody. Send the link, send the YouTube, whatever it is, share, because that's how we get the word out. That's where you find people like Gerard, because others telling others, and that's what it's all about. Gerard, hey, thank you so much for being with us. Always a pleasure. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Sounds great. I enjoyed it.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.